to him, and I hope that it shall please God to make it to be precious unto us. Just think of what it must have been. Simeon, evidently an old man, and yet a man with a promise, a man with a hope, a man through faith and by grace with an expectation, and yet with that realization that the expectation was to be a revelation before the time in which that he should depart from this life. And if we look at the 29th verse, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, according to a promise received, a hope given, an expectation wrought in the heart, and then the reason why there could be such peace in his heart. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. We find, as we look at it in the first, in the thought immediately before us, that we have two things. The first is the expectation, the waiting, the looking for, the seeking after. The second, but not entirely isolated, we have the fulfillment by the work of the Spirit of God. God fulfilling his hopes, also given by the Spirit of God, in the heart of his people, the hearts of his people, so that as they look too, in a different sense, as Simeon looked, they should be brought to the same conclusion. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. We follow this through the whole of the wonder of the coming of the Lord Jesus, the work of the Spirit of God. Yes, the announcements that came from heaven, the things that were brought into the knowledge of the people at the time. Oh, just think what it would have been to Joseph, to Mary, or perhaps to Zacharias and to Elizabeth, if those things had come to pass without the foreknowledge of God being brought into the knowledge of their heart. The gracious manifestations. And then, as we might think that these things are far removed from all that we experience in our own souls, no, just wait for a moment. Has there been no revelation of the Spirit with your spirit? Has there been no making known of the things of Jesus, the Holy Ghost taking of the things of Jesus, revealing them unto thee? No promises, no hopes, no expectations, or perhaps we need to put it even a little lower than this, no exercises, no thoughts of the heart toward this blessed event which came to pass, and which in the chapter we read together and in other parts of the Word of God is so clearly made known unto us. No exercise of heart and soul concerning it. The work of the Spirit is in many ways, we see these precious ways that are before us immediately in the context, the announcement of angels, the visitation by dream, and yet we have to look upon such different times, the times that preceded the coming of the Lord Jesus, or perhaps were almost coincidental with it. And then we have to look in those times that followed. Oh, if we were to follow through the further revelations, how often the Spirit of God opened the heart to the things of Jesus, in those that we look upon in the Word of God. And if we were able to follow in the time since. What should we see? What should we hope for? Just a little further thought. Salvation. Just as is given to us in this word, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. How far different, or how far off it seemed to be removed from a babe in arms. Yes, an infant, 8 days old at the time, and yet what grace was given that looking by faith, knowing a little of the work of the Spirit within, of the guidance of the Spirit in that immediate sense. What did we read? Coming by the Spirit, he came by the Spirit into the temple. Yes, the guidance of the Spirit into the place in which that revelation should be brought to pass. And then, as we think upon it, how deeply he could see, how far he could look beyond the things immediately, that is to say, in the temporal sense revealed. Perhaps there were those who, standing by, looked and wondered, and perhaps even scoffed, because they looked at something that they could not, in their own spirits, comprehend, understand, or even look upon with any realization of the significance whatsoever. How often we see this, not only in the workings of our own hearts, for well we know that without the work of the Spirit of God, there will be no understanding, no entering in to the precious things of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Oh, we might in our childhood, we might even in our adult times take some notice, the excitement of the times, the things which outwardly attend Christmas time. But what help of the Spirit of God we need if there is to be for us a looking beyond the surface, a looking into the purpose, a looking into the thought that was given here. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The angels brought the same message. The angel brought the same message. The angels brought the message of praise, but the angel said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Newborn. You might say, there was to be the exercise of faith there. The exercise in which the faith given because of the word which came from God, may we not say a word of an angel sent from God is indeed a word of God? And we find more than once in the narrative of the Lord Jesus, there was an angel sent from God. And as that angel pronounced the things from God, God revealing to certain of his people and through the word to his people, the purpose of God in Christ Jesus, then we begin to see. And one hymn writer could have said that as the Lord Jesus came in his helplessness and in his infancy, his shoulders held up heaven and earth when Mary held up heaven. To see, to look. My friends, do we find our hearts exercised in these things? Let us think hearts of those who were brought into the knowledge of it. Yes, how many words that came from heaven were disregarded? How many times the prophets spake and the people heard and turned from it? We may trace it in almost every prophecy. And yet, how often we find that the words of the Lord Jesus, yes, those words of God that were uttered by the Son of God, as it were, they seemed at the time to fall to the ground. There was a turning away. And as the people heard the words, they no longer followed. They were too hard for them. And many turned away from him. And it would seem that the words of heaven, even coming into the natural hearing of men, need that further help of the Spirit of God, that there might be a receiving from them, a receiving of them. And in that receiving, the heart be opened, and in the opening, the word to enter in. Oh, can we look upon it in some little understanding of this? The heart open to receive. Come back to Simeon for a moment. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, that the entering in of the thought, yes, knowing the promise, shall we put it like this, knowing that which was before revealed of God, what was revealed to him? It was something rather special. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And as we look upon that promise, it isn't a promise perhaps that every one of us can lay hold upon in the experience of our own souls. And yet, when we begin to look at an exercise within our hearts, at a felt need within our spirits, as yet we have not the confidence of this promise within us, but we have the yearning after it. We have the desire for it. We have in our soul's experience the felt need of it. And if such exercise is known and felt in a little measure, we are brought into something of the experience that was given unto Simeon in the anticipation of this time. And then we need to follow a little further. What was the work of the Spirit continuing in the life of this aged man? Oh, there was a time so evidently in his life. What does it say of him? There was a man whose name was Simeon, who was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Once more, it seems, oh, so far above the experience of our souls, until we come into this thought of waiting. Do we know something of waiting grace? Awaiting the work of the Spirit of God, seeking for it? Coming quite evidently by the Spirit into those places in which the expectation of it would be brought into the fulfillment of it. It was not an idle waiting, an expectant waiting, an active waiting, a waiting in those places where there could be the fulfillment of it. And brought into those places so evidently by the work of the Spirit of God. God guiding. Now, can we see anything of this at all in the experience of our own souls? Anything that we can see that led us to the conscious knowledge of our souls of a desire which was after the Lord Jesus Christ. A hunger and a thirst for his righteousness, a waiting upon his words, a sitting at the feet of Jesus to hear his words. These things, have they come into the experience of our souls? Preparatory. Promises. The Lord's people are not brought into the times of need that they shall be left without their fulfillment. It is the work of the Spirit of God to bring the soul into that exercise which is after the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That which is the work of grace is both the work of preparation and the work of revelation. But then, in each case, we need to come into this place, the place where there will be something of the spirit of the shepherds as well as the spirit of Simeon. Let's look at the thought of the shepherds as we read it in the 15th verse. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them. What had the angels done? The angels had showed them first the one. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And then the chorus, the praise, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And as the angels departed away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, and what? Which the Lord hath made known unto us. Do you not see in the experience of Simeon, although he was not in the field with the angels, there was something which the Lord had made known unto him? We cannot, as it were, look into the hearts of the shepherds or into the heart of Simeon and see, as it were, that which brought them into a felt and urgent need of the salvation which was in and through Jesus Christ. But certainly with Simeon we see an implication of it. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. With the shepherds, a little different aspect to it, a little different attitude perhaps. This great thing which the Lord hath made known unto us, the acknowledgement of the work of the Lord, the acknowledgement of the revelation that came from heaven, the acknowledgement that when the Lord reveals, there needs to be an obedience in the spirit of seeking. Yes, you follow it in both instances, I think. You look upon it in the evidence of it, in that which the shepherds did, and you look again at the evidence in that which the prompting of the Spirit worked in the heart of Simeon. He came by the Spirit into the temple. There was a time of appointment. There was a time appointed of God in heaven, both for the shepherds and for Simeon. Different times, different places, same effect. For each, the blessing was brought, that they came and they saw. And they came with haste and found the babe lying in a manger with the shepherds. And then for Simeon, he came into the temple and he took the Lord Jesus in his infancy in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Contemplation of the coming of the Lord Jesus. At this time of the year, and as I hear in my spirit at all times in the year, should bring each one of us into something of this gracious spirit seen in the shepherds and in Simeon, to hear the message of heaven, but hearing the message of heaven, to seek that which heaven itself sets forth unto us, so that as we look upon the revelation, we seek that that revelation might be brought into the fullness of understanding in the comprehension of our own souls, so that each one of us, looking upon the blessed things that come to us in meditation at Christmas time, might have this thought in our hearts: mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Thy salvation. What grace, what understanding was given to Simeon, we might look to Zacharias, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people. We might look to upon so different a spirit that was evident when the Lord came in the fullness of time to fulfill that for which he came. What comprehension was there, or expression of comprehension, of the purpose of his suffering and death around the cross? We can see none. And not until his resurrection and his own opening of the understanding of the disciples, when he used those that precious word to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, ought not Christ to have suffered and to enter into his glory? It would seem that there was hardly a thought as to the fulfillment of this purpose of his coming in his death. What favour is given to us? We have the privilege of looking upon the nature of his birth, but we have too the privilege of looking upon and reading, hearing the teaching of his ministry, and we have the wonder of grace that we may look upon the fulfillment of the purpose of his coming to work the salvation of his, for his people, their salvation through his sacrifice. Simeon saw it afar off, looking forward. He probably, quite evidently, did not expect to live to see its fulfillment. He had seen its fulfillment by faith in the birth of Jesus Christ. But, my friends, we see its fulfillment by faith when we look upon the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, for that grace. That grace that was given to Simeon at this time. He might say, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, and that we might join with him and say, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh, may the for which the Lord Jesus came in his infancy and in his life, the salvation of his people, be the joy of our souls at this Christmas time.